Welcome to CLC Connects, the podcast where you get connected with CLC experts on topics that are interesting to you. Today we're talking about dental hygiene with dental hygienist faculty member Julie Bolt. Julie is going to clue us in on how to manage the dental anxiety and fears that many of us have about visiting the dentist. She will also connect oral health to your overall body health and give tips on how to stay healthy by keeping your mouth clean. Finally, Julie is going to let us on a very good Lake County secret, an ultra-low-cost dental clinic at our Lakeshore campus that is open to the public. Julie Bolt, welcome to CLC Connects.
Thank you.
You've been a dental hygienist for 21 years. How did you get into it?
Yes, I have. So I started out in college. I was majoring in pre-med. And as I got into organic chemistry my junior year, that's kind of the flunk out class. Those of people who have taken it know this. But it was four pre-med majors in particular. So it was a very difficult version of organic chemistry. And I got in that class and the professor, the first day of class, says, okay, look to your left, look to your right. One of you will fail my class. A wonderful way to start, right? So, of course, that was me. Yeah. So it was that year, though, that I started kind of reevaluating and trying to figure out, is this really what I want to do? And I kind of came to a realization that I wanted to stay home with kids at least part-time if I had children. I was hoping to have children. And I knew that if I became a physician, I probably couldn't do that the first 10 years or so. That wasn't really going to be an option. So, you know, a combination of organic chemistry being difficult and realizing that maybe this isn't what I want to do, I decided just to get a biology degree and took a year off after that to reevaluate what I wanted to do. I knew it was healthcare. I looked into all different healthcare fields, and we have a couple of family friends who are hygienists. And I went and observed and I talked to them and I realized it was just going to be two more years of school, yeah, which was exciting to me at that time. And I could work with my hands, I could work with people, and it was in healthcare, which is a field I love. So it seemed to be a perfect fit.
I would definitely fail an organic chemistry class. Yeah. That sounds really difficult, but but I like that you, it didn't deter you from your career that you wanted to do in healthcare and you're still where you wanted to be.
Absolutely.
That's great. So we're here to talk about dental hygiene and just kind of the overall effects it has on your health. So I just want to start like really basic though. When I'm at the dentist and I'm in the chair, I can't see what's going on, and maybe that's why it's kind of scary. So what's going on in that exam?
Yeah. So we start out with a lot of assessment, and when you're at the dentist, the assessment that's being done on you is either limited or kind of cut down, mm-hmm, or I guess it's more compact, mm-hmm, than what we do in our clinic at CLC here. So one of the things that they're doing is they're checking the outside all around your lymph nodes on your neck and all, kind of doing a general head and neck exam, mm-hmm, which can be, if we find any lymph nodes that are hard or locked in place, that can be an indicator of cancer. Mm-hmm. So that's part of what we're doing, is checking for anything that is out of the ordinary. Then we go inside your mouth and we do the exact same thing. We know what the normal anatomy should look like. Mm-hmm. And we are looking at every soft and hard tissue structure in your mouth to make sure that it looks like it's supposed to.
Okay.
Anything that doesn't, we have to document. And sometimes it requires a referral. Sometimes it doesn't. There can be minor things that don't really mean anything, but we still document them. And there can, you know, it could be oral cancer. So it could be a very significant thing.
Yeah.
We are also doing what we call dentition charting, where we are putting in a chart what your mouth looks like in terms of fillings that you have, mm-hmm, teeth that are present, crowns, bridges, implants, whatever you have in your mouth. That is a very important document. That's a legal document that we have to have up to date. And some of the reason behind that is and this is kind of graphic or, you know, tough to think about, but if a body is found, if remains are found somewhere and they need to identify the person, oftentimes the very first thing they do is they get the dental records, because those dental records obviously are specific to that person. And so they would go to the dentist and get the records and then make sure that it matches up.
Okay.
So that's kind of interesting. With there is a thing called forensic dentistry.
Yeah.
And that's what is part of it.
Yeah.
They're using the dentition.
That's really cool. That's for the Law and Order SVU fans.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing, I mean, I can keep going, I guess, if you want.
Yeah, I want to know everything.
Yeah, everything. Okay, so we do what's called periodontal charting.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're doing is determining if you have gum disease or not.
Okay.
And we are measuring around each tooth to find out where your gums attach to the tooth and hold them in position.
Okay.
And if they don't attach very high around a tooth, that means that attachment point has dropped down the root further and you have less support. Mm-hmm. That's an indicator of gum disease. So that's one thing we're charting also. We take x-rays.
Mm-hmm.
In order to diagnose periodontal disease, you really need to have both the periodontal charting and the x-rays to do that. On the x-rays, we can see the bone height. We can see there's a ligament that surrounds the tooth called the periodontal ligament. Mm-hmm. We can see how healthy that ligament looks. We can see cavities. If you have a cyst, sometimes you have a cyst under your gums. The only way to see it is on an x-ray.
Okay.
So those x-rays that we take that seem like routine, they're also to detect things that you may not be aware of.
Yeah.
So they're very important.
Get a lot of information from them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. So then we come to a point of diagnosis.
Okay.
And so then we as hygienists, we can't diagnose cavities. That is against our scope of practice.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where, you know, a dentist has a lot more schooling than we do. And we need to respect that and honor that. And so that is one area in particular that we do not diagnose. However, we can diagnose periodontal disease. And it's through all of those assessments that we take, we can then develop that diagnosis and then also develop our treatment plan for how we want to proceed with treatment to best treat that person's condition.
Yeah. And that periodontal disease, we'll talk about later about how that can affect your overall body health, right? Like that's
right.
That's pretty important to diagnose.
Yes, it is.
So I like that you just kind of explained everything that's going on because in particular, like, and I think a lot of people that are listening to this, we're afraid of the dentist. We're afraid of going into the clinic. We're afraid of what the hygienist is doing. We don't like any of it.
Sure.
I think that you telling everyone like what is going on there helps, but how are some other ways that we can overcome or like, you know, what are some tips that you have for like overcoming that dental anxiety?
Sure. So there on our end, on the side of the hygienists and the dental clinicians, there's certain things that we can do to make it easier for you.
Mm-hmm.
I know I typically slow down the process a little bit and I explain every step that I am doing. So mm-hmm. before I do it, I tell you, I'm going to do this. Okay. I'm going to do this. So you know what's coming. I also try to speak in a calmer, softer voice.
Yeah.
I try to reassure patients that they made a huge step in just getting in the door,
mm-hmm.
that alone is so difficult to do. And I want to make sure that we recognize that and we reassure them that they can do it and we're going to treat them to the best of our ability and we're going to get through this together mm-hmm. as a group or as a team, you know. We do have some measures that we can take. There is nitrous oxide that we can give them. You've probably heard of it as laughing gas.
Mm-hmm.
that will help with dental anxiety. It kind of takes the edge off a bit, helps you to relax more. The other thing is we do have local anesthetic that we can administer in the state of Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
That can be different state to state, but that is within our scope of practice here in Illinois. And that is if a patient is fearful of pain,
mm-hmm.
but not fearful of needles.
Yeah, that wouldn't work for me.
Yeah. And that's where you have to ask a lot of open-ended questions mm-hmm. to find out why that person is fearful.
Okay.
What is it that they're afraid of?
Yeah.
And then you can better address it.
Do you find that they're afraid for like the same reasons? Are people like, is this a shared like common experience or where is this coming
from? Sometimes. Okay. What I find more often than not is their past experiences mm-hmm. were not good. So whether that was a dentist who was heavy-handed, maybe they have a history of a lot of cavities mm-hmm. and they just were always getting cavities filled. And, you know, as a child, that can be traumatic. Or maybe they hadn't ever been to a dentist in, you know, 15, 20 years, mm-hmm. and they finally went as an adult then, and they have all kinds of work that needs to be done, and they've never experienced it. So yeah. It's scary.
Yeah. Do you know how common the fear is?
It's fairly common.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah, it's pretty common. Yeah. At least to have some degree of fear.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things we do as part of our assessment is take vitals. Yeah. And so when I take a person's blood pressure, you know, I usually follow it up as, well, you know, we're not really the place to go for low anxiety.
Yeah,
right. You know, not really the place.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How are the hygienists trained to deal with like people who might have high anxiety?
Yeah. So those are actually the things we talk about in class.
Okay.
Yeah. One of the classes I teach, we focus in on that a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And we are in the clinic with, at least with our students, and every dental hygienist goes to a school. You have to graduate from an accredited school.
Mm-hmm.
So we all have to pass accreditation mm-hmm. standards. And part of that is, you know, we're all kind of learning the same thing in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's teaching them to have empathy for their patients, because I think that is a huge part of healthcare
mm-hmm.
is empathy. If you don't develop that, you're not going to be as good of a clinician as you could be.
Mm-hmm.
You could be much better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, putting yourself in their shoes and understanding where they're coming from is a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the calming, reassuring voice it goes a long way. Yeah. I know, you know, we may even use our instruments in a little more gentle manner,
mm-hmm.
you know, asking those questions of, you know, are you sensitive? Where are you sensitive? Okay, I'm going to be really, really careful in that area.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll put a little bit of topical anesthetic on the gums right there, and maybe that'll take the edge off too.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some things that we talk about in class. We are in the clinical setting in school constantly having that conversation about treating every part of that patient.
Yeah.
And part of that is their fear.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of leads us into like the mouth-body connection, right? Mm-hmm. Between, you know, keeping good care in your mouth and how that affects your overall health system.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about the link there?
Sure. So, you know, we used to think that the body and the mind weren't connected.
Obviously.
Right?
Yeah.
Seems so obvious.
Sometimes it feels that way, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of how it was treated in the past. And somewhere along the way, we realized the body's all connected.
Yeah.
Who knew, right? So there are a lot of studies now that are at minimum showing an association between systemic diseases such as cardiovascular disease, diabetes, osteoporosis, Alzheimer's disease, even respiratory disease, as being more likely to cause more problems in the mouth if you have them. Also, it goes the other way, where if you have periodontal disease in the mouth, you're at a greater likelihood of developing some of those systemic illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that diabetes in particular, I'm going to mention that one because we have the most studies to back that one up,
mm-hmm.
that show that when a person has periodontal disease, it's harder to control your blood sugars.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that is an inflammatory reason because there's generalized inflammation in the body. There's also some thought behind the bacteria in the mouth. When a person has periodontal disease and they start losing the bone that supports the teeth, as well as the soft tissue, connective tissue
mm-hmm.
that supports the tooth, the bacteria then start to change. So the normal bacteria that we have that work in a homeostatic way, I'm going to say. So there's a balance of good and bad bacteria. Well, when you have periodontal disease, now you have a deeper pocket, we call it, around the tooth where the gums have dropped down lower. And that creates an area for bacteria that do not grow in the presence of oxygen. We call them anaerobic bacteria. And now those bacteria tend to be more disease-causing bacteria. We call them pathogens. So those pathogens can get into the bloodstream through that broken down connective tissue, and then they can go to other places of the body and wreak havoc in other areas. So that's one thought. The other thought is the generalized inflammation in the body. So there's a simple blood test that can be done. It's a C-reactive protein blood test. And when the C-reactive protein levels are elevated, that is an indicator of inflammation somewhere in the body. Not specific to any certain area, but it shows that there is inflammation somewhere.
Okay.
And the inflammation is your immune system trying to fight infection, bacteria, viruses. It's trying to fight against, I'm going to call them the bad guys, right? So your immune system, this stuff is fascinating to me. Your immune system normally is, your body is kind of breaking down bone, rebuilding bone. It's just a normal process. Same with connective tissue. It normally will kind of, it's just like your skin cells, you know, like they slough off and you grow new skin cells. Within your body, that's happening on a regular basis too.
Okay.
But when a person has periodontal disease, now these inflammatory, we call them mediators, start breaking down the connective tissue at a higher rate than they repair it.
Okay.
Same with the bone. And so as that occurs, you start to lose that support around the tooth. And now you have that inflammation in the body. You also have breakdown of tissue. And now the pathogens are getting into the bloodstream too.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a hot mess.
So do you have examples? You mentioned diabetes. Like what other kind of systemic diseases can your overall mouth health
happen to affect? Yeah, absolutely. Pneumonia is one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately. Okay. We have, there's such a thing as pneumonia that is inhaled through, it's aspirated. We actually call it aspiration pneumonia. And it's when that bacteria, those nasty pathogens, actually get inhaled into the lungs through the mouth, and they can lead to pneumonia. And usually this occurs in patients who are already immunocompromised, tends to be the elderly. Usually it's those that are in a nursing home or a long-term care facility who maybe don't have the best care, you know, of their mouth. And unfortunately, people die from aspiration pneumonia.
Yeah.
So, you know, can you die from dirty teeth? You actually can, you know, which sounds crazy, but it's true. You actually can. Another one we've found is with Alzheimer's patients, people who had Alzheimer's that donated their bodies to science, the brains have been studied, and they've found oral components or like pieces of oral pathogens in the brains of patients who had Alzheimer's. And the mouth is the portal. That's where it comes from. So that's really kind of interesting. Cardiovascular disease is another one. We have a lot of studies that are showing a relationship between periodontal disease and cardiovascular disease. And the American Heart Association actually lists as their periodontal disease as a risk factor to cardiovascular disease. That's significant. You know, that having mouth disease, I'm going to call it periodontal disease, right, can lead you to possibly even having a heart attack.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like we have sufficiently scared everybody with, like, we're going to talk about the dental fairs, and then we're going to talk about what happens if you don't go.
Right.
I'm more scared about not going now. So
I think that's good.
Yeah, so you convinced me.
I hope you go often.
I'm going to go. I'll go. Yeah. But there's more than just going to the dentist every 6 months, right?
There's
a lot of other things you have to do. So I'm just going to ask you about a couple things that are supposed to be part of our routine, and just ask you for a little more light on these. So I know we're supposed to brush twice a day, right?
Yes.
Does my toothpaste matter?
It does.
Okay.
It does. So we often recommend that you get a toothpaste that has the ADA seal of approval on it. So it'll actually have a little symbol on it, a little square that'll say ADA. Stands for the American Dental Association. So in order for a toothpaste to receive that seal, they have to go through rigorous testing that shows that what they're claiming on that product is true. Mm-hmm. So if they say that this product provides sensitivity relief, then they have to have that ingredient in there that's been proven to do that. Mm-hmm. So you will notice, if you start looking around at toothpaste, you'll notice some of them will have that seal and some will not.
Okay.
And it's very expensive and time consuming, and there's a lot of effort that has to be put into going through those tests and getting that seal.
Okay.
So some spend the money and the time and effort to do it, and some don't. But by getting a toothpaste that has that seal, you know you're getting what it says it is.
Yeah.
The other thing is fluoride. So fluoride is very important in mineralizing your enamel, which is the outer surface of a tooth. It is also the hardest surface of anything in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So it's harder than your bones.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's purposely that way because as we eat acidic foods, the acid will over time wear down your tooth. So if I put acid on your shirt right now, do you know what it would do to your shirt?
It's going to eat my shirt.
Exactly. Yeah. It's going to put a hole in it,
yeah.
Right? It eats away a hole in your shirt.
Yeah.
Does the same thing to the teeth.
Okay.
So the fluoride helps to kind of strengthen that enamel so it's less likely to break down. The other thing that occurs that is part of demineralizing, we call it, in the mouth, which is your teeth are constantly remineralizing, meaning getting harder, mm-hmm. and demineralizing, meaning breaking down. And another step in the process of demineralization is when we eat sugary foods. So the bacteria, when they mix with the sugars, they give off an acid. Again, what does acid do?
Eat my teeth.
Yes, it'll eat away at your teeth. Right. So the fluoride will help to strengthen the teeth,
okay.
So that's less likely to happen.
Okay.
So that daily fluoride exposure on the teeth is fantastic.
Okay. What about mouthwashes?
Sure. So mouthwashes, you can get a mouthwash that's therapeutic, meaning it actually can kill bacteria in the mouth. You can also get mouthwash that's more cosmetic. And what I mean by that is it might just kind of help with your breath a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and one other, you can get fluoride in mouthwash as well.
Okay.
So often with children or adults who are prone to decay or cavities, we'll recommend a fluoride mouthwash.
Okay.
Children tend to get cavities more than anything. Their diets are usually higher in sugar, and they aren't as good at taking care of their teeth. So that's, you know, pretty common. So yeah, then we would recommend a fluoride mouthwash. A therapeutic mouthwash that's been around a long time that's really good is Listerine. Mm-hmm. It does have alcohol in it, and so it does tend to have a drying effect on the teeth and on the gums. However, if a person does not have dry mouth prior to using it, it's not likely to cause dry mouth.
Okay.
But if you start out with dry mouth, you shouldn't use it because it's okay. Only going to exacerbate that condition.
Yeah.
Scope is one that a lot of patients like because it's a little bit gentler than
Listerine,
right? Tastes good. I know. I understand.
Yeah.
But that one is not therapeutic.
Okay.
So that is more of a kind of just quick freshen up your breath.
Okay.
You know, but it really doesn't help with the bacteria, with killing the bacteria.
Is it possible to like overuse mouthwash and kill good bacteria too?
Or it is.
How does that work?
It is, yes. So we only recommend using a mouthwash, in particular a therapeutic one, uh-huh. though, 2 times a day for 30 seconds each time.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah.
And yes, you're correct. There are bacteria in our mouth that are good bacteria that we need. And then there are, of course, bad bacteria.
Yeah.
And there should be an equal distribution, you know, mm-hmm. where when your immune system is healthy, your body is healthy, you're able to kind of keep that healthy relationship with the bacteria. Mm-hmm. If you are over rinsing with a therapeutic mouthwash, they're not specific to any bacteria. They're just killing all the bacteria, yeah. right? Or, you know, any kind of bacteria. So if you're over rinsing, you're going to start not only killing off the bad bacteria, but you're going to kill the bacteria that you need.
Okay.
And so it can throw off that balance.
Yeah.
So yes, you are correct. You okay. can overuse it.
And then what about flossing? That's the other thing that I'm always told to do, and I hate doing it. I use a water flosser now, and I like that better.
Yeah.
Is that effective?
Yeah. So, yeah. right. So kind of, you know, the conventional way is to floss, mm-hmm. right? But we have different ways that we can clean in between teeth. Yeah. If teeth have, you know, a little bit of space between them, you know, or maybe down at the gum line, there's a little space, but then they touch at the top. Mm-hmm. There's other options that are actually more effective than floss. And another option would be a proxy brush or an interproximal brush, they're called. Mm-hmm. It kind of looks like a little pine tree. And you can take that and go in between the teeth. You could also use a toothpick. We have toothpick holders where you just break the little piece off the end, you put it in the holder, and then yeah. you can clean along the gum line and in between the teeth with that. Okay. Again, these are for where there's a little bit of space, though, mm-hmm. because you can damage that tissue that comes up in between each tooth. Mm-hmm. If you're too aggressive or using something that's too large for that area, you can damage that.
Okay.
That's kind of a gentle area there, too. You got to be kind of careful. But if you do have a little space, those other options are great. Mm-hmm. Water flossers, yes. So the water flossers nowadays aren't just a stream of water. They are a shot of water and of air
yeah.
kind of combined, right? So they're kind of pulsating. Mm-hmm. Those are the studies that are coming out on those are showing them to be quite effective
okay.
at removing plaque biofilm, mm-hmm. biofilm being what we call it now, the term we use now for plaque is really biofilm.
Okay.
And that's because it's a film of bacteria
yeah.
and those bacteria live in a community and work together, okay. essentially. It sounds weird, but
is
they do.
Is that the same as tartar?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. So biofilm is the first to form on the okay. teeth. And if you don't remove that biofilm, usually 24 hours plus, then it can mineralize or harden on the teeth. Once it hardens, we call it tartar.
Oh, that's tartar. Why you have to yeah. brush twice a day.
Yes.
Every 12 hours.
Yes, oh, exactly. exactly. And that biofilm forms more regularly.
Okay.
Now, the tartar alone is really not a problem mm-hmm. on the teeth. The problem with tartar is it's rough. So it provides a rough surface for that plaque biofilm mm-hmm. to adhere to it.
Okay.
So you get more biofilm on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the biofilm causes all of our problems.
Got it.
That's the issue.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Every 12 hours.
Yes.
And floss.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. Or water floss.
Or water floss.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I love the water flosser because it massages your gums too. It feels really good.
I agree, actually. Yeah. I have one too, and yeah. I think it feels good too.
Yeah, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything I'm forgetting about how to take care of my teeth?
See your dentist?
Yeah.
Yeah, every absolutely. Yes. Usually we say every 6 months.
Okay.
Patients who have periodontal disease, we increase that.
Okay.
Usually it's 3 to 4 months. We would increase it to. Sometimes you might even see a patient every 2 months,
oh,
though.
Wow.
And that's often if they have periodontal disease in conjunction with being immunocompromised.
Okay.
And so their immune system can't fight off the periodontal disease very effectively. So then we might see them even more frequently. But usually it's 3, 4, or 6 months.
Okay.
And that's so important because you have to remember we are all human, including me. Hygienists, dentists, we're all human, right? Have I ever missed flossing before I went to bed? Of course, I'm human, you know. Do I try to do it every night? Of course. Yeah. I know the effects, the ill effects of not doing it, right?
Yeah.
So we all miss areas. And you might not even know you're missing an area. And you're building up that tartar. And that, again, is rough. So more biofilm adheres to it. Now you start the process of the periodontal disease. So now you get the inflammation, the bleeding. Yeah. The gums start getting infected.
Yeah. I'm convinced.
Yes. Good.
I'm going to do all the steps. So we're brushing twice a day. We're rinsing with a therapeutic mouthwash.
Yes.
We're visiting the dentist every 6 months at least.
Uh-huh.
And we're flossing twice a day or once a day?
Once a day is fine with cleaning in between the teeth. You know, there's a little bit of, everyone has a little bit of an opinion kind of on that.
Okay.
If you want to do it twice a day, I would not tell you no.
Okay.
But if not, once a day should be sufficient.
Morning, night?
Nighttime.
Okay.
At night, when we're sleeping, our mouths naturally produce less saliva.
Okay.
And when our mouths produce less saliva, the bacteria tend to thrive.
Okay.
They grow and multiply faster. So you want to make sure that your teeth are very clean before you go to bed and your mouth gets dry while you're sleeping.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And we're using the ADA stamped toothpaste with fluoride.
Yes. Okay. You got it.
We have a really great secret at our Lakeshore campus.
Yes.
The dental hygiene clinic.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I sure can. So our clinic is open to the public. So anyone can come in and have their teeth treated there or have their mouth treated. The students all work on the patients. And so you can call and set up an appointment. And I always say, so you pay with your time when you go to our clinic because you have to remember these are students that are learning. They're learning the process and the sequence of care. And it takes a long time to learn how to use those instruments properly. And so they take longer, right? Everything takes longer. That assessment that we do that maybe gets cut short or condensed in the dental office is much longer. And so it may take you multiple appointments depending on the condition of your mouth. Generally, I would say most people take at least two.
Okay.
And our appointments are 3.5 hours long. So that's why I say it's a time commitment. However, it's only $15 for the whole treatment. And that includes what could potentially be a full set of x-rays if that's what you need. And all the assessment, obviously. The cleaning, if you need what we refer to as scaling and root planing, which is a deeper cleaning that involves removing the tartar buildup below the gum line, and a person who has periodontal disease, in an office, that's over $1,000, that treatment alone. And then we also do fluoride at the end. We polish and do fluoride. Fluoride's an additional cost in a dental office. Your x-rays, a full set, is usually over $100 in an office. We do sealants also. If that is a protective coating that we put over top of the chewing surface. That's included in that fee. And so it's a great deal if you have the time. Another thing I want to just mention is often people think of the clinic as subpar treatment because there are students who are working on you. And I tend to debunk that theory.
Yeah, please.
Because you have to remember that these students are, one, they're taking their time. So they're doing every single part of the assessment. Like I said, sometimes that gets kind of cut short in a dental office because they don't have that kind of time.
They don't have 3.5 hours.
No, right, exactly. Yeah. They wouldn't, you know, no one would. It's a business, right?
Right.
You know? And then the instructors are checking over every single step of the process. And so I almost think you're getting a better cleaning than you do in an office. because of that.
I believe it.
Yeah. So that's something to just kind of think about or remember, I guess.
And it's super comprehensive.
So oh, yes. Yes. Start to finish, very comprehensive.
Yeah.
We also offer whitening. We want you to come in and be treated. And then if after treatment, if you want to have a whitening procedure done, we do make custom trays. And that is $125.
Okay.
But again, like in a dental office, that can be $300 to $500. Mm-hmm. And insurance does not pick that up because it's considered cosmetic.
Right.
So $125 is steeply discounted.
Yeah.
And then we'll deliver the trays after we make them, and then the whitening gel, and you can whiten your teeth at home.
That's wonderful.
So that's another service we offer.
How do people if someone's listening and they want to go, how do they get connected?
So you can call us at our clinic. We are located in Waukegan at 111 North Genesee Street. Okay. And you can call Melissa. She is our receptionist, and she'll set you up with an appointment. Our phone number there is 847-543-2172. And just let her know when you call that you would like to set up an appointment to have your teeth taken care of.
Amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Did we miss anything you want to add?
I don't think so. Okay. I think we've covered quite a bit.
I think
this was good.
Yeah, good. Well, thank you for coming on.
You're welcome. Thanks really for having me.
Everybody go to the dental clinic. It's pretty amazing that we can offer that to our community.
Absolutely. Yes. We would love to have more patients. So please give us a call. We're always looking for patients.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much.
All right. You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. Join me again in 2 weeks when I chat with Dan Ortegel about on-the-job learning opportunities. CLC Connects is produced by CLC PR Marketing Department, with musical help by faculty member Dave Asma.